When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Saturday, March 2nd, 2024. We are glad you are here. We are going to be talking AEW Revolution. We are going to give you our predictions. We are going to preview it. We are going to talk about WWE SmackDown, all kinds of things. But we want to say thank you for being here on this Saturday afternoon with us. We are not usually here on Saturday, so if you're catching us for the very first time, we want to say thank you very much for joining us, and we hope you like this show. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
Saturday! I'm doing good. I just came home from work. That sucked, but like we're here. We can talk some wrestling. It is, it's fine. I enjoyed SmackDown from last night. I then saw online that I'm one of the few.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good one.
People had a problem with the length of the opening segment, and I'm like, well, I'm the big sucker for The Rock. I'm sorry that I enjoy the guy. I mean, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, but we are going to talk about that later.
There we go. Well, we starting off the show with a bang here. We got a super chat from Doc. Chris Mueller. Sup, Chris?
We're going to call upon you at some point.
Check your DMs. I don't know if you did get a hold of them or not, but we slid into your DMs there, Chris.
Yeah, we slid into your DMs, Chris Mueller, sweetie, voice of God. Guys, hi. Thank you for joining our show. We are usually on Friday, but we're on today. Please leave a like on the video. Press the thumbs up. Subscribe to Fightful Select. It is the most direct way to get wrestling news, contract statuses, and like all sorts of other podcasts that you can get. The most accurate news. I think that's the most important thing. Well, you can send him, the link again.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you. I thought you did. Okay. All right. Anyways.
Okay. That's
our first day.
Let me finish my thing, okay?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So you made me lost my place. Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Send us a super chat. It's the bottom of the YouTube live chat. It's the little dollar sign. Any amount will get your question or statement read on the air. This is the most direct way to support this podcast. You can also send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. If you're not watching on YouTube or you're watching on other platforms, this is another way to do that. But let's dive in.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. I'm just sending that DM to Chris. But here we go. Maggie, AEW Revolution tomorrow night taking place in Greensboro, North Carolina. As I tweeted out a couple of times already, they are expecting a little over 16,000 people, but 448,000 people on Twitter are going. So
how do you know that?
It's just well, a WrestleTix that says how many like tickets are available, and it just seems like how many people on Twitter are just saying, I'll be there. Like, it just seems like how many people on Twitter are saying,
I'm going.
Yeah, see, you'll be there. So I'm just trying to be funny. It's not working too well. But yeah, anyways, Greensboro, North Carolina at the Greensboro Coliseum. Sting had a lot of history in that building, so it's good to see that he'll be there to finish off his career, because I grew up watching Sting, and it's going to be weird to see him gone. You know, it's really, really going to be weird for him to be gone. And I know we lost him for a little while, and I told somebody yesterday that then, like, after like the WWE thing ended, like, there's nothing he could do about it. But the fact that we got him back and that we got to say goodbye again, it makes it just, it's bittersweet, I guess. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. And I'm just glad he made the
sacrifice
to come back for the fans to wrestle. He did that. He came back and he wrestled for us. So he's undefeated in AEW, and we get to watch him, I hope, go undefeated. But we'll get to that match later. Let's go ahead and start with a bang. We're going to start with Zero Hour. AEW Zero Hour is going to be hosted by two of the best people in the world, in my opinion, Rene Paquette and RJ City. Look at these two lovely people. They are your host for Zero Hour, as you can tell.
I mean, RJ is so happy to be here.
Somebody give him his damn graphic by now, you know? That's what they need to do. Yeah. Anyways,
I'm not doing my RJ City cocktail before he gets that graphic, okay? That's what I'm basing my laziness on, okay? Like, that's it.
There you go. Well, let's start with the first Zero Hour match that we have listed here. Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale taking on Julia Hart and Sky Blue for a Zero Hour match. Maggie, who you got?
So, I have a question. Is this... because I was kind of wondering if Julia Hart is kind of banged up, and that's why they haven't done anything whatsoever with her.
Yep, she is. She's been injured.
Yeah, but like, she's part of a match now. Is she going to be protected and never end up wrestling in this particular match?
That I don't know. I mean, I think she must be, I would assume she's cleared for some activity if they're putting her in there. I mean, even if...
Okay.
I can only assume that. But maybe she's good to go.
Yeah, but her TBS championship has been kind of uneventful. Mm-hmm. You know, the last few weeks of it. But I would imagine it was because of, you know, she was banged up. She's wrestling now, or maybe not. Maybe this is a way to protect her. If she's not wrestling and Sky Blue ends up taking the pin, this will make sense, but also will not make sense, if you know what I mean. This is just a weird match. I don't want to see either of these women lose. We've been seeing Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale on our television a lot, you know, in backstage promos or in the ring. I adore the two of them as a team. They're banging. Stokely Hathaway is just... I just love Stokely. He's just doing an amazing job. And people kind of adore the guy. And he is kind of adorable. So this is actually a hard one. And I don't know. To start with, I just hope they give it some time, because I kind of feel like the women deserve the time they all the time they can get on AEW television. This sucks. I'm just gonna go with Chris Statlander and Willow.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I'm gonna go with Julia Hart and Sky Blue, just because I think they're gonna get the victory here.
I will always prefer the person with the championship to win. Don't get me wrong. If this happens to be the case, I'm all for it.
So the other Zero Hour match that we have announced right now is Maggie's guy, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal.
Stop it.
Private Party, Satnam Singh, taking on... did my audio go up?
No, we can hear you.
Okay. Taking on Bullet Club Gold and Billy Gunn, Max Caster.
Well, maybe now your audio went away. That's absolutely fine. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang or the Gang Bang Scissor Gang. I don't know. Are you okay now? Are you back now? Okay. That's fine. Yeah, so let me just do my bit, because I kind of feel like it's at this point it's a bit. I don't give a fuck. This match is stupid. The Gangbang Scissor Gang or whatever you want to call it. I'm so not here for this. That is so not my thing. I will tell you when we can hear you, by the way. It is not my thing. This is one of these weird pairings where I just want it to end already. I just want them to combine two sets of trios championships. Or hear me out, maybe do different things on the two different shows. I can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe keep the Ring of Honor Trios Championships at Ring of Honor and actually do something with the belts, and have the AEW Trios Championships on AEW television. A part of me doesn't want those two sets of belts to be combined because of all the history behind the Ring of Honor Trios Championships. And I kind of feel like you'll be lost in the shuffle. This entire thing has been kind of lost on me, and I am not here for it. I'm one of these few people when the Acclaimed won the Trios Championships at Wembley, everyone was so ecstatic. They were cheering. They were scissoring. I was nauseous. I like the Acclaimed, but I'm so incredibly angry that House of Black have been treated as they've been treated lately. It's pissing me off. At least, you know, Malakai Black got some wins. So, I don't know, the Gangbang Scissor Gang, the Scissor Me Gang Bang stuff. That's who I'm picking.
All right, we can get people to watch this, so get more views.
I'm the Kickmaster, okay? Apparently.
Yeah. Well, you are. Grab the throat.
Correctly.
Yeah.
Correctly.
Really, is her? Never mind.
Amount of people that were shocked by this information.
They weren't really shocked. They were just probably excited, I would say.
No, I mean shocked at, oh, I was doing it wrong.
Oh, I didn't, yeah.
What? No one has made it the right way to me. That's why I'm saying. That's why I was pissed off. And I'm like, hey, I remember that. No. Okay, let's move on. That's a whole different conversation. Send the super chats, okay?
Someone once slapped my ass. Someone slapped my ass and called me Susie once, and I enjoyed it, so I don't know. But anyways. That's a different story.
You told it.
Yeah, I did tell that story. Anyways, I've been predicting this for a while, and I think we're going to see it, so it means we won't see it. I think Bullet Club Gold turns on. I think they're finally going to turn on them. I do. I think they turn on them, and I kind of hope Billy Gunn is the one that turns on.
Yeah, I kind of want Bill Gunn to, you know, screw over, you know, the Acclaimed, and that's you know, finally what separates that. But and just stop it's, it.
What's weird is they're all champions, so it doesn't make it. It makes it kind of weird.
So. I know they are, but it's.
I know that's the thing. Like, yeah, it's difficult because now I'm wondering if they're going to even do that because now they have to, I think once, now I don't know. I think maybe they have to save it until they're defending the titles. That would probably be the best way to do it. So either way, who knows?
I mean, but some point, Billy Gunn's going to reunite with his sons. Yeah. Ace said it in the chat. I mean, at some point, they will do that. And I kind of feel like Billy Gunn will be an awesome heel. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Let's go to this one. This match is going to be fire. FTR taking on Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. These two teams are going to beat the holy hell out of each other. Maggie?
Yeah, just like they did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Who you got?
I am so sorry to our loving friend Jackie, but I'm going to pick Moxley and Claudio here. I'm sorry if this is offensive.
How dare you?
Yeah, the audacity, you know. I'm sorry, Jackie. I love you so much. I don't know. I just... Where's Yuta? Is he banged up too?
Yeah, he's hurt.
Jesus. I don't know. I kind of feel like they're on the roll. I also kind of feel like they should go get some gold, you know? In any form. I don't care. I know that this match is probably going to be so incredibly intense and physical, just like the previous one was 2 weeks ago. But it's just this type of, you know, hardcore aggression that both these teams, you know, ooze. I'm looking forward to it. Like, I know we just saw it, you know, 2 weeks ago, but it's one of those matches where I don't mind see over and over again. Just no shenanigans, okay? Just a straight up, you know, hardcore hitting match. It's just that's what I want.
So who you got? You got Claudio, right? Yeah,
BC
Claudio.
Steve,
yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I'm going with them as well. And I know, like, FTR being in their home state, I don't think that'll play. Well, shit, now I don't know. I always like second guess myself, but I think Jon Moxley is going to get back in the title picture here pretty soon. I really do. So I wonder, I'm going to go with FTR. I think Jon Moxley, this is just my opinion. I think Jon Moxley.
I'm talking about two matches and, you know, the two of them, we have different picks. That's a weird one. Ryan's not in the chat again, right? Is he?
Yeah, he's in trouble. Like, Supi already made a note of that. That jerk.
Bastard.
That bastard. But anyways, yeah, I'm going with FTR. So. Let's move on to our next one. That would be none other than, let's go with this one. Brian Danielson taking on the Continental Crown Champion, Eddie Kingston.
The clam digger.
Who you got, Maggie? Are you going to make your mom mad?
Well, why?
Isn't she an Eddie Kingston?
No.
Kate?
Oh, that mom. Yeah.
Your other mom's a Dolph Lundgren fan, so no.
Yeah, so Will Ospreay, yeah. So, I'm going to pick Eddie Kingston here. I'm probably wrong because I kind of see Bryan Danielson winning. But the whole shtick at the end of the match, if, you know, Eddie Kingston wins, why do you have a smirk on your face?
Because of this. I just pictured it too.
Peggy's right. Yeah. Like she is. So what was I saying? Oh yeah. Okay. The whole shtick that at the end of the match, if Eddie Kingston wins, then Bryan Danielson needs to shake his hand. That's, you know, when you have kind of have a stipulation like that, I kind of feel like Eddie Kingston has won Bryan Danielson's respect already, like a few times, and I have no idea what's Bryan Danielson's problem. Like, I get what his problem is, like he's explained it to him, but like, give it a rest.
Yeah.
You have children, you're married. Like, I kind of feel like you should let things go. Imagine you're holding a pen, okay? And your pen is your frustration. This is from the Big Bang Theory for you guys. I know everyone in the States hates that show, but like I like it. Now, let it go. And let it go. Like that's the way the cookie crumbles. So it's just, yeah, there you go. Just let it go.
I can't.
No, it's not. The pen doesn't need to be special, Rob. Like, not an ordinary pen. Yeah, there you go. Let Taco get it. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Eddie Kingston. I kind of feel like I've enjoyed Eddie Kingston on commentary. I've enjoyed Nigel McGuinness actually talking crap about Bryan Danielson, you know, the clam digger.
On commentary, I think
they're gonna get that match. Yeah, they're gonna get. If I don't get that match at Wembley, if we don't get that match at Wembley, I'm gonna need Zack Sabre Jr. and Bryan Danielson number 3 at Wembley because I want to see it live. I'm just selfish like that. That's all I'm saying. Who you got?
Okay. I have Bryan Danielson winning the title unless Kate watches this. Unless Kate watches this, then I have Eddie Kingston. However, this is what I think happens. I think Bryan Danielson wins, but I think he still shakes the hand of Eddie Kingston.
That.
Yeah. I think that happens.
So this is for the Continental Crown, right? Like he doesn't get the New Japan and the Ring of Honor title, right?
I believe, yeah, it's just the Continental Crown.
Because that's something I couldn't, you know, remember. Please, the chat, correct us if we're wrong, like you always do, you know. Anyone who
all three
has,
are up.
All three are up. Yes. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Huh. All three are up. Well, Jesus. No, I don't want Bryan Danielson.
Well, it's a crown, so that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a crown, so they're on me.
I mean, like, Eddie Kingston went through hell and back to win that tournament and everything. I'm not ready for him because, like, Brian Danielson has been going around calling him a bum for months now. I don't like that, because if he ends up being right, where do you go from here? If they go back and forth and back and forth and, you know, hot potato the crown thing, that's sure. A whole different situation. But no, I'm still going with Eddie Kingston. I'm rooting for Kate's guy. Because okay. I love Kate and I respect yeah. her as a woman.
No, I do too. I do too. It's just I
support women.
I do support women. I think I just think Danielson is going to win. But he hasn't had a title yet in AEW, has he? Very intriguing.
You're kidding, right?
I don't think so.
No, you're right, but like, what?
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Orange Cassidy defending his AEW International Championship against Roderick Strong. I was good. I didn't want to yell. Yeah.
Strong.
Roddy Strong.
Why are some pictures full screen?
Because they were the only ones I could find in a hurry.
Yeah, okay. So okay.
That's why.
Okay. I totally have Roderick Strong here. Please. Mm-hmm. Please.
Yes.
Do something worthy with the Undisputed Kingdom, or else I don't give a crap. Because what did we talk last week on our show, Rob? Like, do you remember what we talked about last week? You know, the whole Wardlow thing?
Yeah.
The way Wardlow finally grabbed a microphone and did stuff with it, you know? I said nothing. You were the one who thought about kinky stuff this time. It wasn't me. So Wardlow talked a bunch of stuff, and I was like, keep it up, because if you did that and then the week after you do nothing, it's gonna mean shit. And they did that this week, and I was like, well, shit. I hope Roderick Strong wins, because tell me, why should I care? Why should I give a flying fuck about the Undisputed Kingdom right now? Because they did the whole, you know, the devil thing, and we were like, oh my God, who's the devil? Who are the goons? Oh my God, he's wearing Wardlow shoes. Maybe he's Wardlow. He is as big as Wardlow, but like he may be Hobbs. Oh no, it's not Hobbs. It's Wardlow. Okay, so this guy is probably Kyle O'Reilly, because he kind of moves like Kyle O'Reilly. And oh, there are four of them. So this is maybe this one. I'm fucking tired, okay? So they did the reveal. It was cool as fuck. They screwed over MJF. MJF is gone now. But, like, Adam Cole is still injured. He's doing nothing. Sometimes he's on commentary. Other times he's not. And, like, they're doing backstage bits that make zero sense. They don't even have tip promos anymore. Like, whatsoever. And tell me why I should care about this. A water skiing vacation into nothingness, okay? They were at the high top, and I had the audacity, mind you, to be on this show and be like, oh, I hope AEW have you know, developed other stories aside from the devil one, because right now they're hanging by this devil story and nothing else matters, because everyone wants to know who the devil is. They want that reveal. So they made the reveal and all everyone forgot about it. And like, there's a bunch of stories, but like, thank you that I was right, that we actually have stories to hang on to. But like, the devil thing used to be the biggest thing ever. And now I just don't give a fuck, Rob. And chat
a lot of those
and
today.
Fans of coexisting, you know, that is just infuriating, okay? Because I want to care, okay? I want to give a crap. I want us to talk about it. I want people enjoying whatever Adam Cole is doing. I know, guys, I get it, okay? I get it. I know he's injured, but they can still do stuff with the guy. He hasn't been on my television, like, whatsoever. And if he has been, I don't fucking remember, okay? So this must mean something. What do you think about everything I said so far? Because this pisses me off.
I think you have valid points. So I just want to say this. Roderick Strong wins.
Thank you for being so,
Well, that's really all I can say. Because you have valid points. There's a reason why that was like the worst storyline. It was voted worst storyline from one publication. There was a reason. It was not good. And they haven't followed up too well. I think it sucks because, part of it really sucks is because of Adam Cole not being able to do anything. I think that's what's, Adam Cole's the best. I absolutely love Adam Cole. But this, with him not being able to do anything, it's hampered, obviously. So, yeah.
Also, not to mention, Corey is right in the chat, by the way. Like, the two teams, the gangbang scissor, the kinky bang shit, like, they are the two teams that directly have a problem with Undisputed Kingdom. And they're like, what the actual fuck are they doing now? Oh, right, that's right, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they decided to join forces with each other. That's not even fun, by the way. How does it that go? I broke my pen.
Oh, I thought you were telling us that you know from experience. I was like, go on.
It doesn't work.
The videos I've seen, it doesn't work.
So it's kind of infuriating. I feel like I said this like five times already, but you seem to be enjoying yourself. Like, what? You're always enjoying myself when I'm not.
Because it's fun to watch you just get.
I said it wrong. You always enjoying yourself when I'm not. Yeah, okay, that's okay. English isn't my first language.
No, it's fine.
Everyone can hear. I'm not that good at it. Okay.
It's okay. We got some super chats, so let's go to those.
Thank you.
SportsCenter says, Rob, do you have any idea what Wardlow would look like with his gorgeous head on a bed pillow? It's pretty freaking hot.
I'm not going to be using it as a pillow, that's for sure.
Only slams. Hi, Maggie. Okie dokie. Subi, are we doing geometry now?
Yeah, we are, but like I broke it. I broke my pen. That's on me. Still, I have pencil sharpener right here. Yeah, but like we can continue talking. I like how I'm ranting a lot, and you just stay there and like enjoy. Oh, look, I have Star Wars pencil sharpener. That's, by the way, that pen is Star Wars pen. Yeah.
SportsCenter Nana, he adds, Rob, if you fly Maggie to Pittsburgh and I drive her up near Cleveland to meet Wardlow's mom and he's there, what happens?
I'm going to pass out. I'm just going to pass out. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to. More passion. Yeah, more energy.
That is true. Rob enjoys it when Maggie rages.
Well, apparently everyone does, which is kind of mean, by the way.
No, it's not really mean. It's just, I got nothing right now, but yeah, we're living up to our show's title. We're coexisting right now.
Sure. I'm sharpening my pen, so.
Yeah.
More passion.
Energy. I am not going there.
Oh, that's a pretty good pencil.
Anyways, so we both have Roderick Strong winning that.
Yeah, hopefully Roderick Strong
that
wins.
That took us a long time to get to that answer.
Yeah. So it's just I've grown a bit tired of the Orange Cassidy title reign. So I'm not growing tired because he's been doing a terrific job. His matches have been solid. And I'm just ready to see a different champion. That's all I'm saying. And Roderick Strong strapped with a title is I'm all here for that.
Let's go to our next match. Timeless Toni Storm defending her title against Deonna Purrazzo. Maggie, tell me who you got.
This is a tough one. who do you want to see Jamie Hayter win back her championship from? that's my question.
Toni Storm.
Toni Storm.
But I want, okay. Yeah. So who do I want her to win her title back from is Toni Storm. Who do I want to win this match? Deonna Purrazzo. But
I don't know if Deonna Purrazzo coming into AEW and directly going towards the championship was a good idea, because if she doesn't win it, where does she go from here? Because like she was already at the top, you know, competing for the main championship there. And they can always play a depressed Toni Storm, you know, the thing that she was, you know, before she got the title. I'm gonna say Deonna. Not because I want Toni to lose that championship, but because I kind of feel like it makes sense. You know, they made it personal. They got the tattoos involved. Toni, you know, stabbed a dagger through the, you know, the tattoo and everything. But like that's.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that. Ace makes a good point, too. Mercedes Moné could be champion pretty quickly, too.
I adore Deonna Purrazzo. She was one of my favorites in Impact / TNA. Well, it was Impact when she was there. I will forever say that WWE lost a great thing that they had when, you know, when they let her go. That being said, Mercedes Moné is not Deonna Purrazzo. I would assume that she's gonna get treated differently. I'm sorry that is, but like we're talking different levels of stardom. That's all I'm saying. So Deonna Purrazzo winning here would, and by the way, Deonna Purrazzo versus Mercedes Moné would absolutely slap. Just FYI.
So I think I want Deonna Purrazzo to win, but I think Toni Storm wins. And how they can do it with Deonna Purrazzo is you could have, I was gonna say maybe you could have Mariah May. I almost said Tiffany Stratton, Mariah May Coster, but I kind of think Mariah May is going to be this is difficult, but I think Toni Storm wins.
Hey, I'm going to be okay with either.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be perfectly happy with Deonna. Man, I can't even talk. Deonna got it that time. Winning. I would absolutely love it. I just think that Toni is going to win. So let's go to our next match here. The 8-man scramble, Chris Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Wardlow, Hook, Brian Cage, and two more people to be announced.
Explain this match to me.
From what I understand, the 8-man scramble is 8 men are going to make scrambled eggs, and whoever makes,
Wardlow knows how to make scrambled legs, okay?
Yeah, it's...
you know?
yeah.
Make it scr- scramble my eggs anytime.
Jesus Christ, I set you up for that one.
You didn't even try.
No, I didn't. So I assume they're...
Oh my God, I turned red. I'm sorry.
Well, I assume they're probably going to do it. Well, I don't know how they're going to do this.
I mean, is it a gauntlet match? That's all.
Yeah, I would assume that's how they're going to do it. I mean, that's what I think it is.
I don't care what it is. Wardlow's going to win it. Like, if it's not, I suppose that this is Wardlow's match to win. That is all I'm saying. And I have no idea who the rest of the two remaining spots are. I don't know.
I
have nothing to say about the Miro situation, by the way, from Friday. I have nothing. The dude has been in Bulgaria for weeks, just so you know. Like, he's been to Bulgarian gyms, he's been training with Bulgarians, he's been on Bulgarian talk shows and everything. He's been here. He's here.
Has he not shown up at your bar yet?
Hasn't. No.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
So, I mean, I'm not going to give the... Well, did... Oh, I think... Oh, tonight we'll find out who I think the final competitor will be, because they're having the Penta, Brian Keith, Dante Martin match. And then last night on Rampage, they had Magnus versus Matt Sydal take place. Mm-hmm. And I did not watch Rampage, so I don't know who won that. But
Magnus.
Okay, so Magnusism. So that's the one we missed. So Magnusism. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Wardlow winning. I think Wardlow will win.
I suppose that this was Wardlow's match to win. You know, because like he did that whole promo thing, and then right after the promo, he left the ring, and on the bottom of the screen, Meat Madness, yay! And then it's not a Meat Madness, it's an 8-man barbecue. Moving on.
Yeah, so we both have Wardlow going.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Jesus, Maggie. Match I'm definitely looking forward to.
Takeshita. Oh, yes, gimme.
Taking on Bill. Jeez. Taking on Bill Ospreay. Billy Ospreay. Will Ospreay is in AEW. Will Ospreay is getting this victory. And yes, he is saying goodbye to the Callis family. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, as he's going to say.
I think he's better than that. I'm so happy that Will Ospreay is here. Willie. Hi. So it's probably going to be a match of the night, match of the year competitor, and it hasn't even happened yet. I'm looking forward to see what they look like in the ring together. It's kind of funny because we've been here on our show saying for years now that Takeshita is probably AEW's future. And I still think that. But Will Ospreay is kind of the now. So I'm anxious to see where this goes. I'm really sad that Kenny Omega isn't here. He was on a game thing this week. I have zero knowledge about games, by the way. That's why I say it like that. He was he was on a game thing this week, and he was in front of a camera, and I was, oh my God, let me tell you how incredibly happy seeing him made me. I was like, it's Kenny. I miss him so much. And you know, Chris Jericho going all like, well, when Kenny returns, we're going to pick right up when we left off. And I'm like, please, no, no.
I was going to ask you what this would be me just like, if I said this, this would be me just choosing to watch the world burn around you. But what would your reaction be if Jericho won this instead of Wardlow? I think we just got it, so never mind. All right.
Why would you even bring that up? Why would you put that out in the universe?
Because I don't know, because I'm crazy.
Okay, so listen to me. If this happens now,
yeah,
you have some explaining to do. Second of all, you better make this up to me so much.
Oh, you're fine. That's not going to happen.
And yeah, okay, sure. But like now you put it on in the, because okay, who pins the guy? If it's a, thank you, sweetie. But like this continues making zero sense to me.
That's the name of the game.
I know it's the name of the game, but I have no idea what the game is. I've never played.
I can tell you it's very easy. It's about the seventh Final Fantasy. I got nothing. I've heard of it, obviously, but I've never played it. Anyways, Wardlow will pin Jericho.
There you go. So, what do you think about Willie and Takeshita?
Oh, Will wins. Yeah, Will wins. And he says goodbye to the Kyle family, like I said.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, they're sure. Like, I just hope Kyle Fletcher appears. Has he been having visa issues or is he hurt?
It could be both, but I think it's visa. I know it's visa issues. Should have got American Express, but whatever.
That's second show in the second week in a row.
I do it every time. It doesn't matter. I know it's stupid. Everybody does it, but I'm 42 years old. Let me just move on. Make my stupid dad jokes.
Move on.
Let me have it. Daniel Garcia taking on his dad, Christian L. Cage.
Daddy.
Dad.
You know, in their last promo, do you remember what Christian said? Because it was freaking hilarious. And I'm like, at AEW Revolution, I don't want to be your opponent. I want to be your father. And I'm like, what the fuck? How does that work?
Okay. I don't know.
How does that work? So, what Daniel Garcia said afterwards, he was like, if you want to talk about my father so much, how about you come down to the ring and I'll put you in the ground right next to him? And I'm like, well, that's a fucking hardcore thing to say to Christian. I don't know if I'm ready to see Christian Cage not be TNT champion yet. I don't think I'm ready to, but strapping Garcia with a belt seems like a good idea. Just like I kind of feel like, because Christian has been such one of my favorite characters ever on AEW right now, I kind of feel like when he finally loses that championship, it should be against someone that they've had, you know, kind of a bigger build and kind of a bigger deal. I'm not saying that Garcia isn't a big deal. I love the guy. Just it hasn't been built up in my head as much as I would want it to be. I still kind of think that, because they did, you know, they took out Elch with the concerto. I always thought that Edge would join forces eventually with Christian and they were going to have a last run, you know, as a tag team. Now that they concerto Edge, I have no idea where they go from there. But I feel like Christian Cage will be retaining tomorrow. I'm almost pretty sure. What do you think?
Yeah, Christian Cage retains. So let's go on to, you know what? I'm just going to go with the match that I think is going to be the main event. So we're going to save the match that I think is going to be the main event for last. I don't know if they've announced what it is yet. So let's go with Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland and Samoa Joe for the AEW World Championship match. Maggie, I think Swerve Strickland's going to win.
Really? I don't.
I do. I think it is time to pull the L trigger O on L Strickland O.
That was bad. Okay, so.
Thank you, O.
So, I get what you're saying. We have been hoping for them to strap Swerve with that championship belt. But they've been going back and forth on the microphone. And every week, Samoa Joe proves that he is just so, so much good. And just, I can't believe that he was never WWE champion. It sucks so much. So...
He's got that rain jacket though. He's or that poncho. He's
yeah, that's that's what Swerve said. He was like, "You're gonna go back to commentary wearing that poncho."
Oh man, that was such a good line.
I mean, like everyone's gonna do that, Samoa Joe, because it was so bad. He was an amazing commentator, by the way. He was
great, and I loved his reaction to it too. His reaction was great. Like he. That was a great segment.
That was an amazing segment. Hangman came out, said, you know, with a crutch and everything. And he said, I'm not going to compete in the three-way. You know, I always thought that this was going to be a regular one-on-one match, but I didn't get the two competitors right. And I was like, he's so faking. He was faking because, like, Swerve did the unthinkable. He turned his back on Hangman. You never do that. So Swerve beat him at his own game. I don't know why people are booing Hangman. Swerve was the one who broke into his, you know, house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, filmed a promo over his baby. Why are people booing Hangman? He is so in his, you know, psycho era. And I'm so...
Like babies. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. Like, who does? But, like, it's... When you kind of think about it, you know, like... Swerve is responsible for Hangman being a psycho. That's all I'm saying. He created a monster and now he has to deal with that. I kind of feel like Samoa Joe will pin Hangman here because Hangman will be so focused in taking out Swerve that they're actually, you know. I feel like Hangman is in this match so he can eat the pin. And he can totally flip out. So, you know, because like the Bucks are weird, they are, you know, out of their minds right now. Hangman is, you know, a psycho. I'm anxious to see what Kenny Omega turns into when he comes back. Thankfully, he comes back, hi guys, and they're like all weird and stuff. And he's like, what happened? What did I miss? Yeah. So it's I don't know. I'm not willing to put any money on this match because, like, whatever the fuck happens in this match, I'll be entertained. I feel like they can go all three ways. But I kind of... Yeah. I'm not ready to see Samoa Joe without a title. He's been doing so great. He's been doing everything that I was hoping that he would in WWE because, like, I never got that. There That's I'm not ready to let go. Okay, that's I'm not ready for this to fall. I don't wanna. Again, we were all here. Oh yeah, Swerve, let's go. I love Swerve, by the way. I want him to be a champion, but I kind of feel like they can do this at Double or Nothing. Swerve can win the belt at Double or Nothing, and then at Wembley we can have Swerve versus Will Ospreay at the main event.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that idea. I still think Swerve wins, so there we go.
That's fine.
The main event, Darby Allin and Sting defending their AEW Revolution, or their AEW Revolution, their AEW World Tag Team Championship titles against the AEW EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson.
Should we bring in our guest? I'm asking.
Let's bring him in.
If he's
Chris ready. Mueller from Bleacher Report. How are you doing, sir?
How's it going?
Oh, my God. Hi, are you just getting up?
No, I've been up for a little bit.
Good.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, cool.
Sure. Maggie's just smiling because she loves your voice, which we already know. But
I always just want to make sure because I have to adjust my audio depending on if I'm using StreamYard or one of the other apps or whatever. Yeah. So
I bet.
Is it hot in here?
According to you, Jesus Christ, Maggie. But anyway, Sting and Darby taking on the Bucks of Youth.
No, I think, no, wait. That's the totally old
Yeah, that's the old Hardy Boys gimmick thing, whatever. Anyways, I think Sting and Darby are going to get the win. And there's going to be they're going to relinquish the titles on Dynamite or whatever show. And there's going to be an AEW tournament for those titles, in my opinion. That's what's going to happen. I think Tony Khan wants Sting to go undefeated in AEW. That's just what I think is going to happen. Maggie, before we let Chris go, I want to hear what you think. And then Chris, we'll have you go and then tell us about your Sting article that you wrote that was published yesterday on Bleacher Report.
So I kind of feel like everything you just said makes all the sense in the world. I feel like if Sting got his way, the Young Bucks, the midlife crisis Bucks will win the match. But I don't think that TK will let Sting have his way because that's just not how it works. So I'm gonna I'm gonna admit something to you guys, and please don't burn me at the stake for this one. Because I never watched Sting's career in WCW or at TNA as it was developing, in real time, because I wasn't watching back then. So I am so not as emotionally invested in this as everyone else is. Am I excited about it? Of course I am. It's Sting. I know how big Sting is, and I know what Sting has done for the wrestling industry, for this business, okay? I'm absolutely aware about this, but what makes me excited is everyone else's excitement, because I see what a big deal this is to everyone. When he got down from the rafters, this week on Dynamite, everyone cried in the audience. They were so hyped about this, and I'm like, yeah, cool, that's super fine. That's kind of exciting, but I wasn't crying with the rest of them because, again, I'm not as emotionally invested as you guys are. Rob is just falling asleep because he's reevaluating our show.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at chat.
I know.
No, okay. I'm not.
I'm like this again. Again, this doesn't mean that I'm not excited. Again, I adore Sting. I'm gonna miss him in the ring. And I just hope he's as safe as he can be in the match. And I don't know. I kind of want him to be undefeated in his last run. I don't care what he thinks. And him being, if they ever make Hall of Fame, and he absolutely should be the first one to enter that Hall of Fame. Chris, what do you think?
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I've been thinking about this one a lot, because I did not ask or discuss Sting's opinion on whether he should go out on his back or with a win, because I did not want to be spoiled or ask him to reveal anything like that. So it I don't know, because like, I do think he understands that is how a lot of people leave the business. You go out putting somebody over. But I also think Tony Khan is a big fan pop moment kind of guy. So having Sting go out on a win is a very realistic possibility. I honestly am like 50-50 on this match. I don't have a solid prediction. I kind of hope the Bucks win, because I'm sort of enjoying this new, like, weird douchebags and don't care if you care attitude they have. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, I'm just really looking forward to watching him one more time.
Yeah, you are.
And if I had to use Mel's spot a Sting of picture course, for being
of
here.
Of course, yeah. With the slippers.
And the little robe.
Yeah. Right before our show, I watched the commercial, the Sprite commercial with Sting. I mean, it was going all around Twitter today. I'm fascinated by everyone celebrating Sting this past week. This is so incredibly wholesome. I love it.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who's almost been doing this 40 years, with a couple of years not doing it in there, you know, from injuries and whatnot. But
yeah, right in his article and right in your article. And I was talking to when it got out. He said that, you know, his first match was 84, you said?
85. Thanksgiving 85. Day, 1985.
Thanksgiving Day, 95. And I was like, I was negative 4 years old when he started wrestling. That's a long ass time.
Yeah, I was two.
Three. Was like,
yeah.
That is, like, so and the guy's still doing it.
And we're talking about a guy who multiple generations have grown up watching him. And so, yep. Yeah, like, and for him to not be a piece of crap like a lot of older wrestlers are, like, he's a legitimately great guy. Exactly. I can't even tell you how much respect I have for him after having talked to him twice, because he couldn't have been like a more nicer or genuine guy.
Yeah.
I mean, was Sting ever involved in a problematic situation backstage? Was he,
well, he's,
you know, accused of stuff?
He has talked openly about drugs, alcohol, women, all that back in the day. He sure. Definitely didn't live a healthy lifestyle there for a little bit, but I think he was saying it was August of 1998 was when everything changed, and he sort of became a born-again Christian and cleaned his life up and really focused on being healthy.
Before the millennium. Good. Nothing before the millennium counts, Chris.
I know. They're like, we're talking about full adults have grown up since that day.
But, yeah. We can literally drink and everything.
Yeah. And like, you know me, I'm not religious at all. But I respect that he wants to use his platform to try and help people in a lot of ways. Like, one of the things we talked about was how part of the reason he came back to wrestling is so he could show these younger guys there is a way to do this and have a life after wrestling and not go down a bad path.
Exactly. I mean, like, I will definitely not name any names because this is kind of mean, but like, I see, you know, his generation of wrestlers, they're kind of douchebags, you know, they're kind of jackasses, you know, for, I'm not saying they're bad people. I mean, just like they're a different breed, you know, mm-hmm. and him being so incredibly wholesome and him literally having the time of his life. I will never forget the picture with him. And was it Moxley and Eddie Kingston? You know, like him in the ring having the time of his life. It was you can see he's just so happy to be there. And he's going to be on screen persona on AEW. Like, he's not going to just disappear into the sunset, you know, with Darby, you know, skipping and everything. He will be on, because they said that next week is going to be, you know, he's going to be on next week's show. That's that, right? Did I dream this? He's going to be on next week's show. Someone tell me.
I think they Sting? Said he will Sting, be, yeah. but I'm not sure.
Oh, will it be like kind of a final farewell promo on Dynamite or something?
Yeah, sure. Which will they can make it be, you know, them vacating those championships. I can see them doing that. But again, I can also see the Bucks doing, you know, winning those championships. I know. Look at the guy. Look at him.
Oh my gosh. So I have some funny stuff to talk about from the interview when you're done.
Yes, please. Yeah, no. Like, I can go on and on. Just so we want you to talk about that interview. Just please.
So I look and, you know, I asked him, I don't know if you guys listen to any of the clips, but I asked him if any promoter ever pitched the idea of him coming out to a Sting song. And he's like, you know what? Somebody probably did at some point, but it just wouldn't work. But so I think
I'll be watching you. And he was like, with a bat and everything.
Also, I do need to point out really quick, like, I never know fully like how much time I get with these people. Like, I've had some interviews that were 15 minutes and, you know, 20, and that's perfectly like enough time for me to get what I need. But both times I talked to Sting, it was between 45 minutes and an hour by his choice. Like, he was just cool with talking to me that whole time, and I wasn't gonna
probably liked his voice so.
But like, he's just a really friendly guy, and there's like 20 minutes of that phone call nobody's ever gonna hear, because he was just talking about stuff that had nothing to do with the interview and a few things he didn't want out there. But like, the thing I loved the most was that I don't think he's ever gone into as much detail about how the Crow character of Sting came about. Because I looked and I couldn't find anywhere else where he was talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show and Batman and like, and the fact, like, I think he even told me in our first interview that the Crow movie had very little influence on it. And that it was Scott Hall who told him, hey, you should put on the black and white paint and wear a dark jacket and all that. But like, I think it's hilarious that he's never actually watched The Crow from beginning to end. And now they're making a new one.
And now they're making a new one. Yeah. Because like, when you and I talked about this, and I was like, am I supposed to know that he wasn't influenced by the character? Is the, or like, because like, this is kind of brand new information to me, and I always thought that. Mind you, I've never watched The Crow either, like, or either. I don't know.
Which I think one. You would love The Crow.
Why?
Because mm-hmm. you're like a heavy metal girl, and that movie is all about that kind
one of one of the best soundtracks, too.
Yeah, ever. That music, the imagery. Like, oh my god, Maggie, you would dig it. Trust me.
I think you'd like that movie a lot.
I don't think so.
No, I
do think you. Yeah, I think you would.
I would. You know what? If you go watch it and you don't like it, I'll donate $50 to charity of your choice. I don't care. I'm that confident that you will enjoy it.
Do I have to say out loud what the charity is?
Jesus.
Wardlow's bank account is not a charity, Maggie.
Don't have Keaton do it. He won't do it.
But yeah, like the fact that I got to talk to him right after his first AEW match and now right before his last one, like it didn't even occur to me until I was putting the interview together that I got to bookend his AEW run like that. And I'm not sure if anybody else did, because I know he's done lots of interviews, but I don't know if anybody talked to him that close to his debut and that close to his retirement. So I'm very happy that that happened.
That's cool.
Like I said, the guy likes you.
We got along really well. Actually, at the end of the call, obviously this isn't in the interview, but we were just kind of bullshitting. And I asked him like, oh, you know, what did you think of the merch design that Mel Coleman made for you with all three of the versions of your character? And he's like, wait, what happened? And I'm like, oh, there's, did you not see the shirt where it's Crow Sting, Wolfpack Sting, and Surfer Sting? And he's like, I don't think so. And so, and then he's telling me, he's like, yeah, we get, you know, I get all these images sent to me for approval for merch all the time. Maybe something slipped through the cracks. And then I sent him the image and he was looking at it. He's like, oh man. Yeah. That's, I love that moon. Yeah. That's awesome. Tell her job well done. Like, so I got to tell her that afterwards, and that made her feel very happy.
Because
she put so much work into that.
I'm so proud of Mel right now.
Oh my gosh. The Thunder Rosa, Abaddon, and Christian Cage print, like the Thunder Rosa shirt, Abaddon shirt, and then the Patriarchy print, like all that kind of dropping within a 24-hour period was amazing. I could not be more proud of that woman. Like I've you know, I've watched her go through so much and work so hard for all of this. Like there is not a more deserving person out there.
True talent out there. She's
like, she knows my love of Thunder Rosa. So when she found out she was doing a design for her, she's like, I'm going all out for this. And she sent me a picture and she's like, I want to do this kind of color scheme. And I'm like, oh my God, please. Yes, do it. And then when she posted this, I was like, how is everything you do the best thing you do? Like, how is each new one my favorite piece? Like, it's not, I don't understand. I'm not artistic at all. It's insane. Yeah. I'm not artistic at all. And like her, Sonya DeWitt, you know, who made me the Chris and Willow piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see the thing I shared from Colin Reynolds, the Hangman Swerve, like oil painting looking piece?
Send it to me, please.
I will. It's incredible. So many of these artists are just doing such amazing work. And the fact that they're using their talents for pro wrestling, like,
I know.
It's amazing because, Rob, when we were growing up, there were no people making wrestling art. I think the first person to do it on a wide scale is Rob Schamberger, and he hasn't even been doing it that long.
No, probably not. I would probably agree with you on that. But I want to say thank you for joining us, Chris, and tell everybody where they can find you at.
You can find
your shit.
Yeah, plug your shit.
You can find all my work on Bleacher Report, which is where the Sting interview is up now. You can find me on Twitter at br_doctor, and I will be covering Revolution tomorrow night. So that'll be lots of fun. And I think, are we doing a pre-show? Yeah.
Pre-show tomorrow. Pre-show tomorrow.
I'll be there.
Awesome. All right. So thank you for joining.
Real quick, just because I know she's in the chat and I want to embarrass her. Everybody go follow Ophelia Payne if you're a fan of video games. She's a really great writer who reviews a lot of games. It's a lot of cozy indie kind of games, but sometimes bigger. And she just has a really great writing style and lets you know very easily.
How is this embarrassing her?
Well, I don't know, because she probably had no idea I was going to give her a shout out. And yeah.
I understand.
Well, thanks again, man, for joining us.
Hey, you tomorrow. For having you guys, I always love coming on and talking to you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. So, all right, guys, you have
talk
a great
talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy. All right, we're gonna do the Cooper Effect, and then we'll move on to WWE.
Yeah, so
here we Here we go. Let's get this show on the road.
Guys, so there's this puppy shelter, which
I'm getting it. It'll take a second.
That's fine. There's this puppy shelter, which so they take their dogs and, you know, watch them for a while and study their behavior and see what they're like. So they apply different houses of Hogwarts to the dogs, which apparently and of course makes it way easier for these doggies to be adopted, because, like, you know, all these quizzes, let's see which Hogwarts house you belong in. So they, like, a lot of people do that on the internet, including me. Apparently I'm a Ravenclaw. So they assign all the dogs to different Hogwarts houses, and, you know, different families have it way more easier for them to actually adopt the dogs. So this is incredibly great and so helpful. And you know what, Rob? As I'm saying this out loud right now in English, I can't help but think that we've done this Cooper effect already.
I think we have. But I forget, like, I didn't realize it until you said that.
Yeah, so because, like, this sounds incredibly familiar, you know, the way I said it.
Yeah, but that's okay. They deserve it.
Yeah, that is absolutely okay. So probably our stats guy Soupy will back me up here, because I'm almost sure that we've done this Cooper effect already. So now I'm a bit embarrassed. So let's talk about The Rock.
Well, first off, The Rock, I gave a stat last night that was actually correct. Phoenix does lead.
I know. I know. I checked. I feel like a lot of people. Why are you?
Yeah. Because I saw Minneapolis was in the top five, so that makes me, like, I was like, oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Oh boy.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
So, I feel like a lot of people checked that those statistics that The Rock did. Okay, so here's the thing. I got up today, like, made my coffee, watched Rampage really quick, and then moved over to SmackDown because I know what was waiting on SmackDown. Because, like, The Rock did a Twitter video. It was like 3 years long, and I enjoyed every day of those 3 years. Let me tell you. Okay, so he took shots at Pharaoh, Rob. He took shots at Pharaoh. Okay,
and that, like, I did not get to listen yet, but the fact that he did that.
Shots at Pharaoh. I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, the last guy that fucked with Pharaoh was MJF. MJF, he didn't even say anything. He was just flipping him off. And I'm like, why are you flipping off a dog? Well, that's mean and cruel. And that's when I was like, well, maybe, because I never booed MJF ever. I could never do that. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I will boo you, Maxwell. Mm-hmm. How can you flip off a dog? So yeah, so, like, The Rock, I don't know if, like, people are gonna throw stones at me, but, like, The Rock made sense in that 3 year video. Okay, he made all the sense in the world. And I was like, cool. I wonder what he says on SmackDown tomorrow. So, like, SmackDown rolls around. And I make my coffee and I see that the Bloodline are actually opening up the show. And now, so right from the get-go, I knew that this was going to be a long-ass segment. A long-ass segment. And I knew that there were a bunch of stuff that were going to get cut because of that long-ass promo. Because... Yep. We all know that The Rock likes, you know, the thing with the crowd that he does. If he has a certain, you know, like, if he has A, B, and C to say in a promo, he's gonna get A1, A2, A3, A4, and A blah, 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 and you know what I'm getting at. Because he plays off the crowd, because he's a pro. That's that thing that he does. So everyone on the interweb was shitting on this entire thing.
Really? I thought a lot of people liked it.
Okay, introduce them to me. Like, I thought that our friend Alex McCarthy, he enjoyed the crap out of it, but like, having in mind that a part of his interview with Seth Rollins was in that video of Twitter video that The Rock had. So happy for him. Alex McCarthy rules. But it is the nostalgia in me that enjoys the crap out of this. It's also The Rock. Okay, I will never boo The Rock. Also, you know, I know that a lot of people paid attention to this because, like, as he was coming out, people were cheering for him. Because, like, people adore the guy. They're booing him because they're supposed to be doing that. The Rock knows what he's doing. Like, the moment he took shots at Pharaoh, he knew what he was doing. Because, like, honestly, who makes fun of dogs, okay? Like, Pharaoh's a good boy. So there's a lot of things that you know, happened in that, you know, 40-minute segment. You know, Roman Reigns came out and he was like, okay, I did my thing. Can we go now? And like Paul Heyman was like, well, we actually have to wait for The Rock after the commercial breaks. That was so funny.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked that. And Roman Reigns was so fucking pissed. You can see right from there that he was pissed. And then, you know, The Rock comes out. He was all, you know, excited to be there. He accused the audience of doing meth and cocaine. And right there, everyone started chanting for cocaine and meth. And that's when they started, you know, messing up with production and everything. Because, like, you cannot possibly have a cocaine chant. Okay?
Sure. That's, why not?
Yeah, that, no, of course you can, but like they started to blur it out and everything. It's The Rock was like, everyone's having fun, Solo Sikoa's having fun, although you wouldn't know it from looking.
he almost cracked.
He did.
And that's what The Rock was doing.
I know, he was trying to. So he talked about how wrestling was once again cool, and he's kind of right. Wrestling is cool. Like, we're becoming the cool kids again, Rob, because mm-hmm. you know, it was never cool when we were in school.
It was when I was. But
yeah, but like I still wasn't cool because I was a woman and I was I was a girl and I was watching wrestling. I wasn't cool at all. Yeah, he said the wrestling was cool, but Cody wasn't. So he said no to Cody because, you know, as we all know, Cody issued a challenge. He said no to Cody, but he proposed a different match. He said, let's have a tag team match on night one. You know, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and that, what do you call him? A walking clown emoji. And he said it about 15,000 times. For the rest of these 40 minutes, and I was like, he's being annoying. He's being annoying. He's doing great. I love that. So if Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins win the match, the main event of WrestleMania, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, will be absolutely 100% bloodline free. Which right out of the gate, he's admitting that none of the defenses that Roman Reigns has had have been fair. And
yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking too. I was like,
that's exactly what he said. Exactly what he said. So if Roman Reigns and The Rock win, it's gonna be a bloodline, what do you call it?
Bloodline rules.
Bloodline rules. So we all know that The Rock and Roman Reigns are winning, right? Because we need, because exactly when they give us something new. We need to know what that means, because, like, what the fuck is a Bloodline rules match, you know?
Yeah.
Or have they done it before and I forgot? You know, in all the 30 decades of title defenses the Roman Reigns has had. Yeah, so Bloodline rules. Anything goes. Would Maggie ever visit Arizona? If I ever go to the States, Arizona isn't the first state I'm visiting. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be Washington State. For a number of reasons. If you guys don't know about, I have no idea. Are you new? So, yeah. So that's only happening. There's no way that they're going to do that. I'm still kind of thinking that The Rock is a double agent. I still feel like it was all planned, because in that 21-minute Twitter video that he got on, he had backstage footage of him and Cody, you know, before the press conference in Las Vegas. They had that thing, so which means that they were planning on doing something with it. Mm-hmm. I still feel like he screws Roman and they get towards to building their match at next year's WrestleMania.
That ending, yeah, that ending of SmackDown kind of, I mean, I had the feeling too, you know, obviously, like, then, but then when Roman stopped him from doing the...
Yeah, the thing that happened, so, like, yeah. The Rock goes for his finishing line, you know, if you... And then Roman put his hands on him. He physically stopped him, and I was like, the crowd lost their mind. Yeah. He started chanting, holy shit, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Here we go. Because throughout this entire promo that The Rock had, the Roman was clearly annoyed at everything. Like, the camera kept cutting to him, like, low-key getting, you know, the glimpses of Roman being pissed. Mm-hmm. And Roman was like, I will do absolutely everything for family. I will do everything for family, but I need you to acknowledge me. Yeah. And I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
So The Rock removed his glasses and the crowd was like, oh. And I'm like, he's just removing his glasses, guys.
Oh, thank you.
You're so my favorite.
Thank you so much.
I'm so looking forward to your announcement tomorrow, Antti. Just FYI.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Looking forward to your announcement. I'm so here for this. So and The Rock was like, I will do anything for family. I acknowledge you. And I'm like, this is so happening. He's turning on Roman. I'm so here for this. I cannot wait.
Yeah. It's going to be what we call good stuff.
Good stuff. But we all know that Seth Rollins is going to be the one to eat the pin. This doesn't mean that I like it. This sucks. I hate the way that Seth Rollins has been put down. Yeah, yeah, he is. He is. He did the thing and then he removed the finger and I'm like, you know what you're doing. You know what they're doing. Guns up. Okay. Guns up. He knows what he's doing. It's happening.
Yeah.
I know. I have no idea what people were crapping on the segment so much. I loved it. It's The Rock. Come on. You can't tell me to boo The Rock. He told that the entire audience of women wanted to get with his 22-inch gun.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, like, talking about your penis on live television is so 90s. And that's something that Alexis Cardoza told me today. That is the most 90s wrestling thing ever. Let's talk about our dick.
Yeah, that's true. Very.
Yeah.
Maggie, plug your shit. Oh, you know what? Before you do that, I got a joke. Do you want jokes?
Of course I want jokes. Please.
All right. Why was Cinderella so bad at soccer or football?
Because, like, it's... Why?
She kept running away from the ball.
Okay, that is a good one. That's a top five. That's the top five, Robert.
What did the horse say after it tripped? Help, I've fallen and I can't giddy up. What would bears...
You always make your first one your best one, and I hate that.
Okay, well, that's true. What would bears be without bees?
Ears?
Ears.
Ears. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here's some two adult ones. What does a perverted frog say? What? Rub it.
I mean,
and lastly, what comes after 69? Mouthwash. All right, plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twix, Twitter or X or whatever. Jesus fucking Christ, Robert. I mean, I told some kinky stuff this week and you decided to, you know, to not fall behind. That's fine. I can get on board with that. On Twitter, X or whatever, at Maggie _IK, and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you, Rob. Where? You?
Yeah, you can follow me on X at Rob Wilkins. Otherwise, you can follow me on Instagram at Fightful Rob. I am also on Threads at Fightful Rob. And this week, sometime, not sure what day, there is going to be a new podcast releasing with me and Gisberto Guzzo. It is a movie review show with wrestlers that we're going to have weekly. This week, the wrestler that we have is none other than the former wrestler in WWE known as Masse. Mason Madden joined us for the review of Kill Bill Volume 1. So that will be on Fightful Overbooked sometime this week. And I cannot announce who our week 2 guest is, but you guys will like it. It's going to be pretty good. So,
yeah.
But just want to say thank you for that. And
subscribe to Fightful Select and join us tomorrow, 1 or 2 p.m., whatever, you know, the rest of the crew is okay with, for our AEW Revolution pre-show on Fightful Select. Please subscribe.
Yeah, Eastern time, and it'll be on Twitter, and I'll make sure to tweet it out on the Fightful account as well. So, guys, if we don't see you before AEW Revolution, we hope you enjoy it if you watch it. Otherwise, we want to say thank you very much for joining us today on this special Saturday. For the folks that did not get to catch us because we were on a different day, I apologize.
Ryan.
We will be back next Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern on our normal time. And again, you can download this podcast pretty much immediately after we end today's show. So thank you again, guys. We will see you next week. Otherwise, we will see you tomorrow on Fightful Select for the AEW Revolution pre-show. Thank you, guys. We will see you very soon. Peace out. Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.